Hello, Emerson. Yes, this is Kathleen calling. I really appreciate your being with us today. And I know that you live in Sioux City, Iowa, and you're a friend of Lois Bjork. And Emerson, I'm not really sure much more about you, so I'd love to hear your life story.
Oh, okay.
So if you could start with your name and if you don't mind, you know, your age or where you're, you know, what happened in your life, we'd love to hear it, especially some of the spiritual highlights. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Emerson Cole, and I live a vice-free life, and I try to live a virtuous life, a vice-free and virtuous life. And I've been maintaining celibacy for the last 20 years, but I always wasn't this good. Because when I was younger, when I turned 18, was in 1968, when the hippie movement, the Woodstock Nation, came across America, and I just turned 18 during the Summer of Love. When all the hippies came out, and I was kind of like that myself. I didn't have any real upbringing in anything moral or spiritual or religious, you know, so I fell into it. It was kind of hard not to get swept away by this whole movement that came across America. And, you know, the thing I liked about the Woodstock Nation the most was the high idealism, the idea of love and peace, the idea of the Aquarian age. It was just like St. Germain's age. It was like people believed, and I believe, that there was going to be this whole change in consciousness all around the world, and we were all going to learn to love each other, and there wouldn't be any more wars. There would be no need for an army or a navy. You know, it was just really idealistic. It was highly idealistic. And it didn't really work out. A lot of the hippie ideas were permissiveness. And all this permissiveness led to a lot of drug use, and the whole Woodstock Nation just kind of petered out by around 1972, in around 4 years, you know, and many of us who did believe in the high idealism of love and peace and the coming of the age of Aquarius, we went into Eastern Oriental religions instead. And I myself went to the Sikh religion. I learned yoga. They practiced yoga and meditation, and they're vegetarians. They believe in purity. And, you know, and I learned from them a lot about the things that I'd been doing wrong. And, well, mainly what I was doing wrong as a hippie was that I had a lot of sex, and it was really harmful to me later on, because I attracted demons to myself because of the things I was doing sexually. And, you know, and much later on in life, you know, these demons came back to torture me. And anyway, I learned from the Sikhs about you know, sexual misconduct and raising up the energy. The whole idea with the Sikhs was to raise our energy up through the chakras, from the base chakra all the way up to the crown chakra. And if you could get your dominant vibration up above the top of your head at the crown chakra, you kind of burst through into a whole different realm of existence, which was really beautiful and wonderful. And I did it through the through the Sikhs' guidance and the use of Kundalini yoga and being a vegetarian and surrendering to God, you know, these were the four steps, was to be a vegetarian, to practice yoga, to practice meditation, and to surrender to God. And I did these four things and burst through to this other level of existence, which was, it was so beautiful and so much better than anything else I'd ever experienced. It was better than sex. It was better than drugs. It was better than anything else. And this is what I experienced with the Sikhs. But I made some mistakes. There was this Sikh guru that named Guru Deep that he didn't like me. And all I was doing was I was doing everything the Sikhs did, but it didn't happen naturally over many years. It happened real quick over a few weeks. And I guess he thought I was using the Sikhs and their methods like tools. And because I told him that once, and I thought it was like tools. You use these things to progress. Anyway, he told me once, after I'd raised my energy up to the top, above the top of my head, he told me, you know, you don't need to hang around the ashram here, which was their holy temple, and the Sikhs actually lived in it. You know, he told me, you don't have to hang around the ashram here and do this stuff. You can go out and do anything you want. Go out and have fun. So I went out and had fun. I went out and I had fun sexually, and it caused my energy to come crashing down to my sexual chakra, to the chakra around the sexual organs, and it just ruined everything. It destroyed everything, and I was banned by the Sikhs. They wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't let me in the ashram. And so I spent pretty much the rest of my life trying to raise my energy up through the energy channels and through the chakras up to a point above the top of my head. And I tried the rest of my life to duplicate this experience, and it never happened. You know, I ended up traveling from city to city, state to state, and holding jobs and, you know, and learning all the time, but I never could duplicate that Sikh experience. And I went to the Christians, and I became a Christian, and, you know, and eventually these demons started torturing me. And I didn't know what was happening. I didn't even know I had demons. I didn't know they existed, you know. But I started hearing voices, and I started feeling all these painful physical sensations. And they drove me into insanity, and I started developing mental illness. And I needed somebody who was a Christian to help me, and I thought of Elizabeth Clare Prophet, who I saw her speak. She had given like a speaker's hour in Los Angeles, California. I went and saw Elizabeth Clare Prophet speak, and she really impressed me a lot as someone who knew a lot. So when I was going into mental illness and I needed help, I thought of Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and I looked her up on the internet. You know, I Googled her, and it turned out she was living in Montana now, and she was with the Church Universal and Triumphant. You know, so I tried to get a hold of her, but the people who worked there told me she doesn't work with people anymore. She's suffering from Alzheimer's disease, and basically I couldn't talk with her. But they told me of people I could talk with that were from the Church Universal and Triumphant, and that was Lois Bjork in Sioux City. So they gave me her name and address, And I went to visit Lois, and I started learning about the violent flame and saying of decrees. And that was in about 2001. And the rest is mainly a lot of the same. I just, you know, it's a matter of saying decrees. I would go to church on Sunday. I was still a Christian, and I joined up with the Heart Center when the Church Universal and Triumphant split into two groups. Lois asked me, which group do you think you want to go with? And the Heart Center had these dictations and had the messenger, which we could actually partake of the dictations, you know, which are now called heart streams, but to actually hear, like, someone like Gautama Buddha, to hear him in the year 2015, that's something I thought was just really amazing. And so I went with the Heart Center, and so did Lois Bjork. We both were saying decrees on St. Germain night with Carlene Dashram. There was three of us. We said decrees on St. Germain night, and I saw her sometimes, other times during the week. But the last few years have been pretty rough. From around 2003, the demons started torturing me, you know, on a regular basis, and two or three or four times a week for a number of hours, maybe, you know, ranging from like 2 hours to 10 hours in a day. They would torture me and make me feel really awful. And I needed help, and I talked to David Christopher Lewis, and I asked him what I could do, and he referred me to Carol Wells. And Carol Wells listened to my story and said that I should invoke Shiva to dance on these demons, which I did. And Shiva danced on these demons, and there was one time where they were starting to torture me, and I was at work. I was working at the John Muir Hospital, and the demons started to torture me, and I invoked Shiva. I invoked the name of Shiva over and over again and asked that Shiva dance on these demons. And Shiva did, and the demons went away, and I felt fine. I felt perfectly good and happy. And so the next time the demons attacked, I called on Shiva again, and the same thing happened twice. Shiva danced on these demons. But then the third time, the demons called in some kind of spiritual entities of the dark side to help them, and it was like the battle of good and evil with Shiva and these demons and these entities that they called in. It was all being fought through me, through my body, and I was at work, and I felt so horrible that I collapsed, and the boss saw me kind of collapse on the floor and said, if you're not feeling well, you might as well go home. And I went home, but I never called on Shiva again to dance on these demons. It stopped working. That was a strategy that was working for a while, but it stopped working after a while. And I've been suffering from these demon attacks. I've been under attack. I don't know if they're demons for sure, but they're negative energies. Carol Wells and said they were negative energies that were resentful.
Excuse me, Emerson? Hi, I'd like to say thank you very much for telling us your story. And this reminds me about the power of beloved Shiva and the violet flame in general. And so I'd like to say that we would like to say some prayers for you, if you'd like, and also invite you to some other prayer sessions that we have with Carol Wells on Fridays. And if it would be okay with you, we'll end our interview here, and we'll continue with a song to beloved Shiva, and we'll say some prayers, especially for you and for what's going on. Would that be a good thing for you?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you.
Okay, we'll do. Well, thank you very much for coming on and telling us your wonderful story of how things have changed in your life, and it sounds like with the Heart Center, they've gotten better. So we appreciate that so much, Cole, and we'll stay in touch. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.